Hebrews chapter 11, please, if you will. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, please. Knowing that I was going to need to cover for Pastor Warren, I had been thinking for several weeks on what to speak on, and I was, during the missions conference, captured by a statement made by Steve Galt. I'll share in just a moment. And so this message this morning is based to kind of stems from that, and was an encouragement to me, and so I hope it is to you as well. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin reading in verse 8, please. The author of Hebrews, ultimately the Word of God, God speaking, says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." Interesting. Would you have done that? God called him to a place that he would receive, something that he would receive. And the Bible says that by faith he obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. I'll just say this real briefly. This is not an MO for life. I do not recommend that just living your life kind of haphazard, kind of wandering around, not knowing where you're going, having no real purpose, having no real plans, you just kind of wing it. And I don't think that this is what the Bible's teaching. This is not what Abraham was doing. So what does this passage mean? He just got up and left in response to God's command, God's call, not knowing where he was going. Well, it continues in verse 9, and it repeats this refrain, this prepositional phrase, by faith, by faith. By faith, he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange or a foreign country, dwelling in tabernacles. That word there simply means tents. All the other translations, including the New King James, NIV, ESV, they all translate that tents. So he was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do we not look for something more than this life? So I want to focus on this passage this morning, and I've entitled this, Abraham, God, and You. Father, I pray that You would bless this time. May You use me this morning to speak to Your people, encourage, challenge. May You speak to us through Your word this morning. May this be a help and a blessing. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. It was wonderful going through the week of missions conference to refocus our attention on missions around the globe and our efforts to spread the gospel, to support missions, and even to participate. I am always humbled by missions and missionaries. I hold missionaries to a very high esteem. Just to think about picking up everything, leaving your country, leaving your surroundings, leaving your culture, leaving your family, leaving what you have here in this life, and to completely uproot that and go to a foreign field where you don't know what's going to happen. You don't exactly, I mean, you make plans, but you don't know exactly how things are going to turn out. And to go somewhere else to reach a people that you don't know in a culture that is foreign is that kind of sacrifice to me is unbelievable. In 1970, my mom and dad left for the field of South Korea. There was my sister, who was about 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. Myself, I was a year and a half, 18 months. My younger brother, Dan, who was 6 months old. Mothers, can you imagine towing three children that age, leaving your country, going to a foreign field with three young children in tow? My brother Nathan was born over in South Korea. But just to imagine that, the difficulties, the sacrifices. So I hold missionaries to an extremely high esteem and honor. So a couple of weeks ago, as we had the missions conference, had a great missions conference. Each service was wonderful. The speakers were excellent, very encouraging, a nice focus on missions. And Steve Galt made a statement that captured my attention. And he said this. In response to a missions call, in response to supporting and doing what we can, and maybe even short-term missions or long-term missions, he said this, understanding can wait, obedience cannot. And he referenced briefly the story of Abraham. And so this morning, I'd like to focus on this. What did he mean by that statement? And what does this passage teach us about our responsibility for missions, our responsibility for the furtherance of the gospel? What is the significance of this? What does it mean to us? What does the statement mean? And our life. So as we look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 11, and we look at the example of Abraham, it says here in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he hadn't received it. This was something that God had promised to him. He didn't know what was going to happen. But by faith, Abraham obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. He went out not knowing where he was going. In verse 9, it repeats that by faith, he sojourned in the promise in a foreign country. And so the first thing that I want to submit to you this morning, when it comes to our lives and understanding the statement, understanding can wait, obedience cannot. Obedience, as we see in the life of Abraham, obedience requires faith. It requires us to just step out and in faith, trust God. Trust what God is calling us to do. Trust what God is commanding us to do. And we do it by faith. We do it in trusting Him. If you look at verse 8 with me, it starts out the verse with the idea by faith, the prepositional phrase by faith. In the Greek text, that is the first word in the verse. That's the very first word. The second word is this idea of, you need to understand, first of all, in English, sentence structure is very important. Word order is very important. You got subject, you got verb. You can't like mix them around, right? I hit the ball I hit. You'll start sounding like, what is the guy's name? Yoda or whatever his name is. Hi, not Yogi Berra. I was thinking of Yoda is what I was thinking. Star Wars, right? Who's my Star Wars guy over here? Where do you go? Gee. But in English, the word order, it's important. But in Greek, you can mix up the words however you want because the function of the words is based on the ending of the word. And so you can kind of mix it around. And you put what's important at the beginning. And so here in this verse, we have by faith, first word. Second word is when called. It's all one word in Greek. When called, the third word is Abraham, and the fourth word is obeyed. In English, we see it has this whole big, long explanation and phrase, and in the middle of the verse, almost towards the end, we have this idea that he obeyed. But in Greek, it's right up front, and it's connected very closely with the word faith. And so you have by faith, when called, Abraham obeyed. It's that simple. And that's how it is very clearly in Greek. And so obedience, what I submit to you this morning, requires faith. It requires trust. It's kind of like this. When your children are young, it's like Evie, right? If he goes out that door, what's going to happen? He's just going to shoot across the parking lot doing whatever Evie wants to do, right? And so when Amy yells out, Evie, stop! We're not looking for, wait, why do I need to stop? We're not looking for understanding at that point, right? We're looking for obedience immediately. We don't want our children just be darting across the road. Well, for their safety, they don't understand all this stuff. And then when... you know, they're young. You can't have this. No, you can't go there. They're like, because they don't understand. But as parents, we expect obedience because as parents, we know better. And so we expect them to trust us. We expect them to obey immediately. And so it is. It's obviously a very simple explanation, but so it is with us and the Lord. Grab a hymn book, if you would, please. It reminds us of the song, very simple, Trust and Obey, page 418. Hymn number 418. We sing this song all the time. Trust and obey. We need to trust that God knows what He's doing. We need to trust that God knows best, just like we know what's best for our children. We know what we're doing most of the time with our children. We don't want them playing next to the busy street. And we must trust God that He knows what He is doing and that He knows what's best. It requires trust if we are going to obey Him. Number 418, trust and obey when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word. What a glory he sheds in our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Verse 2, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. It's not that we're not going to have shadows, problems, difficulties, but we still obey. But a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, nor a fear, not a sigh, nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, but not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then, in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. What we learned from Abraham is that obedience requires faith. It requires trust. But what keeps us from obeying God's calling then? What keeps us from obeying God's commands? If you look at verse 8, it says that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. And many times we can, what keeps us from obeying is maybe things like uncertainty. Fear was mentioned in the song we just read. Lack of understanding, a desire to have it all figured out. Maybe selfishness. Although we'll never admit to that. What keeps us from obeying God's calling and commands? There's many other excuses. Think of Moses. What did Moses say when he stood at that burning bush and God said, I want you to go back and I want you to lead my children out of Egypt? He had all kinds of excuses. Oh, I can't speak eloquently. He had all kinds of excuses. Gideon, when the Lord came to Gideon, said, I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianites. Oh, you know, I come from such a small tribe. I'm from a small family. I don't know. And he puts these fleeces out and everything. So much uncertainty, fear, excuses. It often keeps us from simply obeying God. But obedience requires faith. It takes faith. It takes trust. Trust in God. Trusting him that he knows what he's doing. That he knows what's best. Let's turn back to, if you will, in your Bibles, to the story of Abraham back in Genesis 12. I'd like to read that, if we could. So turn to Genesis chapter 12. And we'll see in greater detail the story of Abraham. Not going to read the full context of it, but a few verses here, beginning in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12, please. So the Bible tells us, now the Lord had said unto Abram, he says, get thee out of thy country. Notice that. He's got to leave his country. Not only that, and get thee out from thy kindred, your family. And from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Notice verse 2. I want you to notice all the I wills. God is speaking and he says, God says, I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation, Abraham. God says. I will bless thee. And understood, I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, God says, I will bless them that bless thee. And then understood, I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Notice verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, but I'm too old to leave my country. I'm too old to leave my family. I'm too old to leave my father's house and go to a land I don't know where I'm going. No. God said, go. Abram went. He obeyed. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, I'm not saying God's telling you to pick up everything, leave everything behind, and go to a foreign land and just forget about everything and just kind of wander around with no purpose, no plan, no nothing. That's not what is being taught here. God had some specific commands for Abram. We call him Abraham. He was called Abram at this point. He had specific commands for him. But the point is this. By faith, he obeyed. It takes obedience. Obedience requires faith. It takes trust to obey God. And so he went. He departed. He left. He didn't make excuses. He simply obeyed. Obedience requires faith. If you are going to obey God, if you're going to obey God's commands in his word, if you're going to obey God's calling in your life, you must trust God. You must trust what he says. You must trust his promises despite your excuses, your fears, your worries, your uncertainties. As I said, I hold missionaries to high esteem and high honor for what they do. And the sacrifices that missionaries have made. And God doesn't call no one would be here if God called all every Christian to a foreign field. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. But God has called me, God has called you to something. He's given us commands in his word that we're to obey. He's given us personal callings that we need to follow. And I'm going to share some of those in a few minutes, that we just need to trust God and obey. And we don't because we're afraid, we're uncertain, we're fearful. And so we stay in our big houses, in our fancy cars, doing our own little selfish lives because of selfishness, fear, greed, uncertainty, worry, excuses. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too feeble. I'm too whatever. And we don't trust God. Therefore, we don't obey. And so understanding can wait, but obedience cannot. Because obedience requires faith. Would you turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please? Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Not only does obedience require faith, we see this here in verses 8 and 9, but also it requires action. It requires action. By faith, Abraham, and I'll skip the rest and just say, obeyed. Because that's how it is in Greek. By faith, when called, Abraham obeyed. And he went out. Notice verse, the end of the verse. He went out. Notice verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, dwelling in tents with his two sons, Isaac and Jacob. He acted on his obedience. His obedience led to action. He did something. He did what God had told him to do. So now let's go back to parenting. If you have teenage children and you tell your teenage son, turn off the video game and go out and mow the lawn. An hour later, you come back. He's still on his video games. Are you a happy camper? No. Son, you need to turn off the video game and go mow the lawn. I'll do it later, Dad. No, wrong answer. What are you looking for as a dad? You're looking for action. Oh, I'll get around to it. No, turn off the video game and go mow the lawn. That's because inaction is not obedience. Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it. Don't worry. I'll do it. That's not obedience. What is that song, the obedience song? How does that go? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Yeah. So as parents, we expect our children to obey with the right attitude, right? If they pout and stuff and the poochy lip and everything else, then we got other problems, right? But we expect obedience right away as parents. If your daughter, you tell your daughter to put down your book and go help your mother do the dishes. Oh, just let me finish this chapter. No, we need obedience. We need action. Obedience requires action. Inaction is not obedience. Oh, I'll do it later. Oh, I'll get around to it. Lord, I'll obey you when I got my life figured out, when I get all my ducks in a row. Or, oh my goodness, I was looking out my backyard and we got these squirrels all over the place. We put out a bird feeder and now it's a squirrel feeder. It's not a bird feeder. And so we have this mob of squirrels running all over the place. And it's just, I don't know why I brought that up. Why did I bring that up? Oh my goodness. And so obedience requires action. What is it that God has commanded you and I to do? I'm glad you asked. Have you heard of these verses? Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Who is the them in this passage? You know, the disciples. Jesus came and spake unto them, the disciples, saying, all power, authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And Jesus says to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We call that the Great Commission. And you say, oh, that was Jesus speaking to his disciples. Jesus was giving a command to his disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples, right? Well, yes, it was to the disciples. First and primary, it was to the disciples. And then you say, oh, that's for the church. The church is supposed to send out, the gospel and make disciples and so on. That's the responsibility of the church. Oh, and that's the responsibility of pastors and missionaries, right? To spread the gospel and witness and make disciples. So you're off the hook. You don't have to obey that command in Matthew 28, right? Wrong. Because yes, it was to the disciples, and yes, it does extend to the church, but who makes up the church? You're looking at the church. We are the church. And so by application, Matthew 28, 19 to 20, 18 to 20, is God's command to us. So here's my question to you. How are you obeying God's command in these verses? And maybe you are doing some things to obey God's command in these verses, but how else can you obey God's command in these verses? Maybe you're not doing some things you ought to do. Are you supporting missions financially? Maybe God wants you to go on short-term missions trips. Are you obeying that? Are you witnessing to your neighbor? Are you witnessing to your coworker? Are you spreading the gospel? Are you being light in this dark world? So how are you obeying God's command in these verses? In what way are you helping to advance the gospel? I'm talking to you. How are you helping to advance the gospel? I'm not talking about the church in general. I'm not talking about Pastor Warren or Steve Galt or the Quelos or my brothers who are in South Korea still today, have been for years. No, how are you and I advancing the gospel in obedience to these verses? What are you doing to disciple others in the Lord as commanded in these verses? You see, this is not just a verse for missionaries or pastor or the church. These are verses for us. Obedience requires action. What are you doing in obedience to God's commands? And guess what? These aren't the only verses. How about Acts chapter 1, verse 8? When the disciples were come together, starting in verse 6, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, the disciples, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power or authority. There's that word power again. Our authority is not in ourselves. It's through Jesus. He gives us the authority and the ability and everything that we need to obey his command. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power or authority after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, that's a missionary verse. Oh, that's just for the mission. No, that's for us. What are you and I doing to advance the gospel, to make disciples, to encourage others, to bring people closer to Christ? Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? I actually want you to look at these verses, if you would, in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4, just another example. I'm just pulling out just a few examples in Scripture of things that we find in Scripture that are commands to us. And are we obeying his commands? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and he gave some, he's speaking of God, Holy Spirit, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So God has given to the church apostles. We no longer have apostles, by the way. Apostles were specifically that group that are now dead and gone. If you're an apostle today, you've been alive for a long, long time. They were specifically people that saw the Lord and were trained by the Lord in his teachings and started the church. So any apostles today are very, very old. And some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, these he gave to the church. But notice verse 12. He gave these leaders to the church for what purpose? For the perfecting or the maturing or the equipping of the saints. Equipping the saints for what? Preparing the saints for what? You and I are the saints, by the way. This is not dead saints that we pray to. This is you and I. So we're, if we're a believer, trusted Christ as our Savior, you and I are saints in the biblical sense. And so pastors and teachers and evangelists are given to the church for the equipping of the saints. Then it says for the work of the ministry. So those pastors and teachers and evangelists aren't given to the church for the work of the ministry. Therefore, the equipping of the saints, then the saints can do the work of the ministry. You see what I'm saying? It's a little bit unclear in King James Version, so I'm going to read it in several versions to you, but I want you to look at it in your, if you have a King James Bible, to look at it in your Bibles. So it says that he gave these individuals to the church for the perfecting of the saints so that then the saints can do the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, the edifying, encouraging, uplifting the body of Christ. So it's the saints that are being equipped that do the work of the ministry and edify and lift up and build the church. Okay? That's what this verse is saying. It's not that the pastor's job is to do all of that. The pastor's job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and edify the church, build up the church. Okay? Now, as part of the church, pastors do that as well. But as saints in the church, it's your responsibility too. Here's how even the NKJV, the New King James Version, says it. So verse 12 says this. In verse 11, it's pretty much the same. He gave these individuals to the church. Verse 12 in NKJV, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. There's no comma in between in NKJV. There's no commas in the Greek either, by the way. Punctuation, right? You know this, T. Tom. There's no punctuation in Greek, right? Or very minimal. And so the NKJV, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. ESV says this, he gave these individuals to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. NIV says it this way, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. My point is this, it's your job to do the work of ministry. Are you obeying? With action? Trusting God by faith? Or do you just show up to church and say, God's lucky to have me here warming the seat today? I think God requires us to do some things. It requires action. Let me just throw out another verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. You've heard this verse before. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And then those faithful men teach others also. So it's up to you and me to do the work of the ministry, to train others, to encourage, to edify, to build up, to bring people to Christ, to train them in discipleship. It's our job. What are you and I doing in obedience to these commands? Obedience requires action. And lastly, would you look back at verse 10, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. So by faith, when called, he obeyed, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with his sons. For he looked, verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Obedience not only requires faith, obedience requires action, but obedience requires endurance. How long did it take Abraham Did Abraham even ever in his lifetime see the fulfillment of the full promise of God, of the promised land? No, he didn't. In fact, it was many, many years later, going down to Egypt, where they became slaves, and then bringing them out of slavery, and through much hardship and trial and wars, coming into the promised land. Abraham didn't see in his lifetime the full fulfillment of what God had promised to him. Obedience requires patience. Obedience requires endurance. It requires faith. It requires action, but it requires these things over time. He looked for a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. Obey even when you don't see immediate benefits. You don't see results, but you know that God has commanded these things. God has called me to this certain thing. I need to be doing this. I need to be edifying others. I need to be sharing the gospel. I need to be witnessing. I need to be building up. I need to be bringing people closer to Christ, bring them further along in Christ. Whatever God has called me to do, commanded me to do, how am I going to do that? What action am I going to take? But here's the beauty of this. I thought about making a fourth point, but I'm making this kind of my conclusion and into kind of encompassing this in my third point. Obedience requires endurance, but there's a payoff. If we have faith, if we obey with action, and if that obedience is a lifetime of endurance and patience and being faithful and doing the work that God commands us to do, obedience eventually leads somewhere. Good things will follow. Let's go back to your children. If your children obey, they learn to obey. They learn mom and dad know what they're talking about. They kind of, you know, they know what's best. They may not have everything figured out. They might not understand everything, but they obey. And over time, as children grow and they mature and they realize eventually, maybe when they're 25 or 30, that mom and dad do know what they're talking about. What happens as those children grow and mature and learn to obey? Good things happen. Good things result in their lives. And the same will be true in our lives and spiritually and long-term. Obedience eventually leads somewhere. It leads to good things. Even when it's hard, even when things are difficult, even when things are uncertain, even when there's fears and worries. And we might even have to give something up. We might even have to sacrifice things that we want. Like a child who's learning an instrument, they might have to give up watching their favorite TV show so they can practice their violin or their flute or their trombone or the piano and give up certain things that they want to do in order to gain something that's more worthwhile, more long-term. As obedience continues, and it requires that endurance, good things follow. There's a payoff. And notice in verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There is hope, hope in a glorious future, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so, as we follow in obedience to God and his commands, to God and his word, to God and his calling, what he's called us to do, whether it's Matthew 28 or Acts 1:8 or Ephesians 4 or 2 Timothy 2:2 or many, many other verses, good things will follow. There's a payoff. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundance abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. When we obey in faith, when we obey with action, when we obey with endurance and patience, there's a payoff. Even if we have to sacrifice certain things, when we see him, it's going to be worth it all. What are you doing to obey what God is asking you to do? No, it's not to go to Canaan, but there's something for you and me to do. Understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. Father, I thank you for this example of Abraham. It's very easy to be comfortable in our lives, just kind of sit back, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. We have so much in this country. We can be very, very comfortable. But Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to get out of that lethargy and do the work of the ministry, to advance the gospel, to encourage other believers, to make disciples, maybe to be a mentor to a younger person. Help us to find ways to serve and work and minister. May it be so. May we walk in obedience, in faith, trusting you. May we walk in obedience in our action, in our daily lives. And may we do so with endurance and patience, knowing that there will be untold, I hate to use the word reward, but blessings and joy unspeakable, full of glory, at the end of this life, and even sometimes before that. So may it be so. Bless, encourage your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.